I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9, and I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second, this looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus. Youth groups were starting to call me, churches were starting to call me, opportunities were opening up everywhere for me to share my testimony. I was speaking in front of 300 sophomore public high school students. 3 minutes into it, half the girls were crying. One girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She put up her hand and she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up there and give you a hug? In front of everyone, she came and she hugged me. She cried on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. I couldn't believe it. It changed my life. That was when I knew I was called to be a worldwide evangelist.
Today, do not leave here unchanged. Leave here unchanged.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
And I want you to know when you fall down, God's grace is sufficient. God's hand will come down and pick you up.
Give me the strength to get back up. By the grace of God, we have seen face to face 500,000 souls say yes to Jesus and be plugged into a local church. As crazy as it sounds, our goal at Life Without Limbs Ministry is to preach to every single soul on the planet, 7 billion people. We believe that this goal is possible as the Holy Spirit is gathering an army and building up supporters to send us and accomplish this mission.
How many of you are blessed to have your feet? Let's all stand to our feet and let's use our hands to welcome, applaud our brother Nick Vujicic. Thank you. Come on, tell him you love him. We love you, brother. All these services, we got Aloha Stadium left. Woo!
Bless you. Thank you. Good morning. Everyone shout Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for the wonderful warm welcome. I'm so excited to be back at New Hope. Love Pastor Wayne and what you guys have been doing all around the world. You don't even know how your church and sometimes have actually changed people's lives, and people you won't even meet here on earth will come up to you in heaven and say thank you to your church for helping them along their faith journey. So I want to first of all say a thanks from me, and on behalf of my ministry of Life Without Limbs, thank you to your church, thank you to Pastor Wayne Cadero. Thank you to the previous pastor of Wayne Cadero, Larry, who's up the front. Thank you for what you've done and all of your prayers. I'm so excited to be back here in Hawaii, and we're so most excited, not just about the fact that we were able to speak in an invocation at the legislature and did a little mini sermonette to all the government there, but we also, in this tour, will total 18 schools that I've spoken to on the anti-bullying campaign, but ultimately the greatest excitement is about within a couple hours, the Aloha Stadium, We are so excited. And look, I know that you could say quite easily, well, I've done my part. I've invited someone to church. Maybe you haven't done that. You have an opportunity to invite someone to the Aloha Stadium. Maybe there's someone in your mind, in your heart, who's been there in your heart for a long time, and you're waiting for God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Maybe they don't want to walk into a church. Well, the Aloha Stadium ain't a church. And we're actually praying for 30,000 people there tonight, and we are praying for 3,000 souls to come forward. In the last couple services, 200 souls in this church just came forward to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Isn't that amazing? We're so excited for Hawaii to be in such a time as this, where we can really reach out to our community. So please, after this service, don't just go and have lunch. On the way to lunch or the way back home, will you call someone? Will you say, look, I just really want to invite you to come see this guy speak. He has no arms, no legs. He's from the really, really big island, Australia. He's here to talk about his story and a message of faith, hope, and love. Without your encouragement, they may not come. If they don't come, we don't know if they'll ever hear about Jesus through another way. Is that fair to say? So God has put you in their life to invite them, in Lord willing, to receive a seed of faith. Amen? So please help us fill up that stadium. Help us pray. I just told someone in the last 24 hours that we've done 2,600 speaking engagements in 54 countries by the grace of God. But our events here in Hawaii come in the top 3% of spiritual warfare for us. You have no idea how hard it is to do what we do by the grace of God. You know that the devil ain't just in front of his fireplace smoking a cigar. Amen. He's sending out an army to just bring a lot of stuff against you, right? And so please pray for us for the spiritual warfare, that God's will be done. And we are excited because when there is much opposition, there's much breakthrough. Amen. We're excited. We're excited. We are so honored to have here in our midst my mother-in-law and the most beautiful woman on the planet, my wife, Kanae. Would you stand up, baby? Thank you. Thank you, baby. I love you. We have also a board of directors. Don McMaster is here. Don, would you stand up, please? Thank you so much for coming all the way from California. Where's Don? He's somewhere here. I must have just seen his twin brother. I thought that was you, but that's not you. I got to get some glasses. But Don McMaster's here and a couple of my team and a friend of ours, Dan. Dan, would you please stand up? This is a friend of ours, Dan, friend of the ministry. Can we thank Dan for his support? And we also have Suzanne Maurer and Wendy Lowe, who's responsible for bringing us back again and again to Hawaii. Can we thank them as well? Last person to thank. Thank you. We've just been so blessed with all the sponsors and all that stuff. We're just so excited. But please pray. That's the greatest way to support. And I just want to thank you for having me back. First of all, before we get into the word, is there anyone here who can say, Nick, I've never heard you speak face-to-face? Can I just see who you are? Never heard me speak face-to-face? Fantastic. Put your hand down. Put your hand up if you have seen me face-to-face. Okay, put your hand down. Is there a reason? Maybe you're confused why I asked the other question, because duh, right? Well, if they haven't, so just speak, right? But I want you to know it's hard to see hands from up here, and I know it's hard for you to see my hands from up here, too. I have a lot of humor in my life, and Wendy, I did thank you, right? Suzanne and Wendy, good. I just want to, first of all, say I'm a guy that really loves life. I've done skydiving. My knees were shaking. It was crazy. I love freaking people out. Like, when I've done 3 million miles in the air at 30,000 feet, And doing 54 countries up to 15 times. Sometimes you get bored on a plane and I don't have any thumbs to twiddle with. And so I come up with these crazy ideas like, guys, put me in the overhead compartment. Let me freak someone out. One day in front of a church in Texas, I said, how cool would it be to actually dress me up as a pilot and greet the passengers as they got on the plane? Well, we did it. An American Airlines pilot said, hey, I'm a pilot. We can do this. I'm like, serious? I said, what do you need? Do you need my fingerprints or something? I said, I don't want to get handcuffed, all right? People are going to try to sue me for an arm and a leg, right? So imagine, we actually dressed me up. It's on YouTube if you don't believe me. Actually dressed me up with a hat, with a jacket, with the badges and everything. And as people were coming on the plane, like it was a 6 o'clock in the morning flight, right? So everyone's still half asleep, right? And they're drinking their coffee slowly and they're coming down to the end of the jetway and then they see me. Good morning, how you doing? Welcome aboard. My name is Captain Nick Vujicic and I'm going to be flying the plane today. Thank you for flying with American Airlines. And they're like, what? Are you serious? No way. I said, uh-huh. They're like, well, how do you do that? Is that like with some brainwave technology? And I'm thinking, uh-huh, yeah, that's right. Everyone gets on the plane. The kids are so excited. Mom, that's such a cool captain, man. We're so excited. This is awesome. And all the parents are like talking to each other. Did you know about this? No, I didn't know about this. I'm a little angry. Yeah, me too. I'm like, Do we have to talk to someone? I don't know who to talk. Should we wait for the next flight? I'm telling you, some came to Jesus Christ. Some people prayed for the very first time. Dear God, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. And I got on the plane and I went all the way to get in the microphone and I walk on the plane like this. And I get the microphone and you look down the aisle and everyone's head's like this. And I get the microphone and I said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for boarding so fast. And they're like, oh my gosh. It's really, really funny. Anyway, last funny story. Can I tell you one more funny story? So the kids on that plane were disappointed, obviously. They were like, aw. But anyway, I would love to drive a car. Maybe not fly a plane, but drive a car. I'm just scared of the time that if I get pulled over by a cop, they're going to look at me and they're like, put your hands up. You get a little scary, right? But anyway, one day I was in a car. I'm in the front seat. I'm not driving, but I'm in the front seat. And we're at the traffic lights and this car comes up next to us and this girl's looking at me. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her. And all she sees is my head. All right? So just imagine, right? So I know that all she sees is my head. So I want to freak her out. So I get the seatbelt in my mouth and I loosen it like this and so I can freely move. Now imagine all you see is my head, right? I just did this. And she was like, it was awesome, man. Awesome. Sometimes if you take notes at all, this is the time to take notes right now, because I'm going to give you a sermon here and I'm going to be sharing my story, but what I do want to cover, I'm going to quote some scriptures that are written on the tablet of my heart, the scriptures that have helped me to get through my depression, the scriptures that I can hold on to when I go through something hard. Has anyone gone through something hard? Yeah, all of us, right? And many people, they look at me and they think I've gone through something difficult, but I think of the 9-year-old here in Hawaii whose mom and dad just divorced and Christmas is going to come faster than you think. And it's going to be the first Christmas where mom and dad aren't married, where mom and dad aren't under the same roof. And divorce to me is worse than having no arms, no legs. I can't imagine losing my wife. I can't imagine losing a loved one someone so close to me. I haven't lost a brother. I haven't lost a sister. I haven't lost a mother. I haven't lost a father. My wife has lost her father before I got to meet him. He died of cancer. There are so many things in our life that happen that really are difficult, and sometimes we don't have an answer. When I was born, there was no warning that I was going to be born this way. I just came out and I said, surprise. And my mom and dad didn't know what to do, but they did their best and trusted God in the rest. And they tried to plant those seeds of love and you know, encourage me. I wasn't just in a Christian home. I actually have a different disability. It's called a PK, being a pastor's kid. PK, pastor's kid. It's a disability. It's pretty bad. Because you just have to go to church whether you like it or not. Now, it was one of the greatest blessings. And going to Sunday school every day, Sunday school every Sunday, and, you know, hearing, you know, that Jesus loves me and that song, right? I don't know if you heard that song before, but not that Jesus loves me this on earth or the Bible tells me, so we all know that one. But the other one where he says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, right? But then I went to school, right? And I saw everyone with more than me. And I didn't get it. And the bullies who came up to me and teased me. It was so hard. That's why we're so passionate about spreading an anti-bullying campaign. 12.8% of all teenagers in Hawaii have tried to commit suicide. 12.8%. And in the surveys that we've done in the schools where we've been, I get them to bow their heads, put their hand up in the air, and open their hand. And if their answer to my question is a yes, they put their hand in a fist. So then the person next to them doesn't see their answer. The first question I said was, put your hand in a fist if you have felt and thought of committing suicide. Up to 40% of the school's students, up to 40% of a school have thought of committing suicide. Up to 18% have tried to commit suicide. And up to 5% have tried to commit suicide because of bullying. And my heart breaks for the youth. If you don't tell your daughter that she's beautiful, then they're not going to hear that at school. They're not going to hear that on TV. They're going to hear it from the home. And the day that we have a daughter, Lord willing, one day, I'm going to tell her she's beautiful every single day. And you know how daughters will be. Well, of course you're going to tell me I'm beautiful. I'm your daughter. Right? And sometimes they put a do not disturb sign on their door. Look, here's some advice, parents. Respect that sign on the door. Go out the front door. Go around the house. Stick your head through the window and say, you're beautiful. Get over it, all right? You're beautiful. You got to hear the truth. The truth will set you free. I didn't need arms and legs. I needed the truth. You can have arms and legs and not know what to do with your arms and legs. You can have everything in this life. You can have all the friends that you want, but you still feel empty. You can have money in the bank, but you still feel empty. Money is nothing. Even if you give me $1 billion, if I lose a loved one, I'm not going to be happy. You can't replace my wife. You can't replace my son. You can't replace my mom. You can't replace my dad. You can't replace people. They're irreplaceable. You're irreplaceable. There's never been another you. There never is another you to come. You are you. You are the only you in the world that will ever be you. And that's why you don't have to be someone else. You just have to be you. I don't care how you look. You girls, you think you need to be taller, shorter, whatever. I want you to know that you're beautiful just the way that you are. You are royalty. It's not lack, chance, or coincidence that every 3-year-old girl wants to be a princess. They didn't even know what a princess is. It's got something to do with pink stuff. I'll tell you why God made every girl to want to be a princess, generally speaking. That's my quotation marks. Generally speaking. It's because God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you become a child of God, you become a part of his family. Amen? And a daughter to a king is a princess. It's not luck, chance, or coincidence. Hallelujah. Amen. To the lighting guys, can we turn down the lights on the crowd? Because I see some glare that people are sort of covering themselves from the house lights. So just turn the house lights down or even off. Thank you so much. So guys, you need to know the truth of your value. It's not determined on what people think of you. It's not determined on stuff. It's you understanding that you are specially created for eternity. You know, some people have come up to me along the way, and I've met a lot of interesting people. You believe me? Yeah. Some people come up and they're like, hey, you're the perfect example of reincarnation. I said, how is that? Well, it was very simple. You were a really bad boy in last life. I said, I had a last life? Yes, you had a previous life and you were really bad and that's why you were punished. And so hopefully now you're good, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, I think. I don't know. Crap, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I supposed to believe? Just because someone thinks that I've been punished in a previous life and now I don't remember my previous life and now I hope that I'm better to then have a better life that I won't even then at that time remember this life, that doesn't make sense to me. Some people are like, well, I hope there's a good place after this and I hope that I'm good enough to go. Does that sound like hope to you? Hope is real hope. The truth is the hope that we found in Jesus Christ. When we find it, there is no limit. You see, when it's absolutely true, it's not just a positive attitude. Some people think in this life, all you need is a positive attitude. Sometimes I feel like headbutting them in the face and just say, have a positive attitude. Because if it's the absolute truth, then we're all okay if we just have a positive attitude. No, we're not okay. Having a positive attitude as a coping mechanism is not enough. It's not. When you have a loved one who is maybe at the end of their road of their life, and they don't know where they're going when they're not here, all of a sudden, all the things that they've worked so hard for on this earth, they can't take it with them. They're looking for two things. Are they going to be alive after they die? Where are they going? And the second thing is, they want peace. To me, that sort of goes hand in hand. If you don't know where you're going when you're not here, you don't really have that peace. Today, I have that peace. Because there's only one cure for death, and the word starts with R. It's called resurrection. Amen? There was only one resurrection wherein the spirit of that person resurrected himself as God. The other resurrections that are recorded is because of that man, Jesus, who said he was God in the flesh. There is only one cure for death, and he gave that resurrection to a couple dead people before he went to the cross himself. I don't care if I have arms and legs or not in this life. Yes, it would be cool to jump on a bike with arms and legs, smash into a pole and break a leg. That would be cool. For me, okay? But arms and legs or not, I want eternal life more than arms and legs. I want peace more than arms and legs. I want an eternal life. I want God more than arms and legs. And even if I had cancer, if I die of cancer, I'm going home. If I don't die of cancer, I'll die in a car crash. If I don't die in a car crash, I'll die in a plane crash. If I don't die in that way, I'll die of a heart attack. I'll die of something, somehow, someday. Good, because I'm going home. This ain't my home. I'm a citizen of heaven passing through. There is something in our hearts, in our souls. We know there is something more. We can't see it, but just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. How many feet do I have? Is it a trick question? Maybe. How many feet do you see? One. How many feet do I have? Put your hand up if you think I have one. Put your hand up if you think I have two. Put your hand up if you think I have four. You got faith, man. You can see one. Does that only mean, though, that I only have one? Could it be that I have two? Now, here's interesting. Something really interesting. Ready? You can believe all you want, I only have one foot. If I actually have 2 feet, then your belief doesn't change the truth. Correct or incorrect? Okay. If I actually have 2 feet, but you actually believe there are 4 feet, you can believe that all you want, I don't have 4 feet. Your belief doesn't change the truth. There is a truth. Here's the truth, and the truth will set you free. So who wants to see my second foot? What if I never showed you it? You'd be like driving home. I just wish I saw that foot. It's killing me. It's not going to change your life. I know, but I still want to see the foot. Curiosity is amazing. If I give you an empty envelope and I have your name on it and I tell you there's nothing in it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to open it. I just told you there's nothing in there. Well, I just want to make sure. Why? Because it's yours. God comes to you with a wrapped gift. And the gift that's left wrapped is useless to you. You can't use it until you unwrap it. You got to open the box. You got to take it out. You got to study it. You got to look at it. If it's something you've never seen before, you're going to explore it. You're going to get a manual and instructions with it. That's the manual instructions, and the gift is life, salvation, forgiveness of sins, an eternal life, a real purpose, not just to be a good person. You can die a good person, but still not go to heaven. It's not about being a good person. It's nothing like this earth. From here to Waikiki Beach, I can give you 1,000 different ways in how I can get to the same spot. But that's not how heaven works. There's one way. Because there was only one person who was holy enough to pay the price for my sin. I have sin. I've lied once, I'm a liar. If I've stolen once, I'm a thief. If I'm jealous of you, I'm not going to jail here in Hawaii, because in the Hawaiian legislature, there is no law to say that Nick Vujicic should go to jail because he's jealous of someone else. You can't go to jail because you're jealous of someone according to the law of the world. But there is a law above the world, the person who made the world. And if you don't believe that God created the world, it actually goes right alongside with the Big Bang Theory. God spoke, bang. It happened. Totally fact. Well, how do you know that Jesus was real? It's just in another book. No, this book is God breathed. Best-selling book in the world. It just ain't culture. It's not just culture. And Jesus is not just in this book. Go look up 33 AD, Congress meeting. A congressman in 33 AD-ish. I can't remember the year, but ish. Got up before Jesus was crucified. He got up and he said, I just want to make known to all the government here that there is a man from Bethlehem, who is tall in stature, and he has a following. He's very handsome. He has blue eyes and long brown hair. A government congressional note. He heals the blind, it is stated. It is being told that he is doing miracles. Jesus was real. Whether you believe in him or not. Whether you see 2 foot or not, 2 feet or not. Here it is. Here's my little foot. Oh, it's so hard to get out. 1 second. It's a little shy. Come on. Oh, 1 second. Nearly. Here it is. There it is. Oh, there it is. How cute. All right. Was that always there? Yes. It wasn't a magic trick. It was always there, right? Trust me, most magic tricks, it's always there anyway, all right? But I'll tell you something. That was a good one, right? That was a good one. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus is always there. Whether you feel him or not, faith is not by seeing. It's not by even hearing his voice. It's about believing whether you hear him or not. Amen. Oh, God's gone silent on you? Nothing new. At one stage, he went silent to everyone for 400 years. God sometimes goes silent, but just because he's silent right now doesn't mean he's not going to speak. Doesn't mean he's not going to do something. Doesn't mean that he doesn't hear your prayers. And I want you to know, when God was silent on me, I felt that I could conclude in my logic that he doesn't love me or he's forgotten me. Jeremiah 29:11 is for everyone but me. Did I already give you that verse, Jeremiah 29:11? Did I tell you that one? No. Jeremiah 29, write that down. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So someone tells you that God's got a plan for you. You are hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God is the beginning of faith. Faith is certain of things hoped for, sure of the unseen. For someone to come to my parents and say, "Don't worry, your son's being born this way, so he can go and be a preacher." Yeah, right. Oh yeah, don't worry. It's all good. It's not all good. It was hard. But did God have a plan? Yes. Did they hear it? Yes. Did they have a tiny, tiny little seed of faith to believe it? Yes. When you believe in the living God, you only need a little bit of faith. You need oceans of faith to believe in a dead God, guys, and he ain't there. But Jesus was not just another teacher or prophet. He called himself God. He was part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to come. He was God, and he proved it by being pure like no other human being. Every other teacher and every other prophet had sin. If you actually look up the research, the real research, in every other religious teacher, they all have sin somewhere along their life. Jesus never had a track record of sin or even thinking of sin. And I want you to know that sometimes we feel like God doesn't have a plan, but he said it. Take that seed of faith. Keep on praying. Seek him, because you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. That's verse 13. And then verse 14 says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Amen. What a promise. God's not like someone up there who's crossing his arms and ready for you, waiting for you to fail, and then he can zap you with his fingers. No. Well, why did pain come? It's not from God. It's from the devil. You see, Adam and Eve, who had no belly button, had free will to believe what God said or believe what the what? Serpent said. Who was the serpent? His name is the devil or Satan. Okay. Is Satan real? Yes. Are demons real? Yes. Are angels of God real? Yes. Is God real? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit alive and well? Yes. Does God still do miracles these days? You better believe it. I've seen 12 blind people seeing deaf people hearing, lame people walking, crooked backs come straight. That was the first miracle I saw. A woman came up like this. She was like this for 6 years. She said, can you pray for me? We prayed for 10 seconds, in Jesus' name be healed, in Jesus' name be healed, in Jesus' name be healed. That was the prayer. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, I'm ready. Do I have a pair of shoes in my closet in case he says yes? Of course. But if God doesn't choose to heal my body, the pain from the enemy brought in sin. Sin then gave us a temporary life. Adam and Eve didn't have to die until they sinned, and they stuffed up pretty bad. So only one thing, one sin, and they were done. Once. You sin once, you're a sinner. I didn't choose to be born this way. I didn't choose to have human nature, sinful nature. But by my human nature, I am greedy, I am prideful, and I have a lot of lust by my human nature. And in my human nature, you only believe what you see. And when you start hearing the lies taking you away, when I was a kid, I was getting bullied and teased, and I was thinking, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to even be able to hold my wife's hand. I'm not going to be able to have a family. I can't even hold my kids when they're crying. I'm not going to get a job. I'm just dependent on everyone else around me. I'm just going to give up. At age 10, I tried to commit suicide. And I did not, because I didn't want to leave that pain with my parents, so I decided to stay. You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give your broken pieces to God. The worst part of your life. I've seen girls who were 17, and when they were 10 years old, their parents sold them as a sex slave for $700. They finally left, went to rehab, found Jesus, and now they're saving up money. For what? For a house? No, for a car? No, to go and pay off a debt off another girl and bring them to Jesus. They've forgiven their pimps. When Jesus forgives me of $300 trillion of debt, who am I not to forgive you of $1? And hell is real. I don't want my worst enemy to go. I don't want my worst enemy to go there. I want even my worst enemy to find out that Jesus lives, to find that Jesus loves them, to find that Jesus died for them too. And if they just call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's the difference, loving your enemy, praying for your enemy. That takes a lot of whatever you think that is. It's just God. It's a miracle to love anyone who's hurt you. But look how much hurt Jesus went through for you and me. I had sin. Jesus didn't have sin. I can't die for your sin. I didn't make the law because I didn't make the world. God who made the world made the law that if you have sin, the wages of sin is death. It's why you don't know anyone who's living here forever. Because we all have sin. So Jesus, who had no sin, paid the price. And if I believe someone died for my sin, then I don't have to die for mine. Can we have Bobby up here and play piano? I'll play piano, but I'm not warmed up yet. Thanks for stepping in. Let me give a quick example, ready? So let's say I'm driving a car and the cop pulls me over, I get a speeding fine, $100. Now I have $100. So they put me in jail. Just an example. You hear about it, and so you have $100. And so what you do is you get in your car and you're on the way to come and set me free. You come to the jail, but just before you get to the jail, a cop pulls you over and you are speeding. And you now have a fine. Before you can pay your fine, you have to go to jail. So now you're in jail next to me. We both have the same problem, but there's only one of us who has $100. Are you going to pay for your fine or are you going to pay for mine? Yours. You have a family. Too bad. I only have $100. I understand. I would do the same thing. I want to go see my wife. Sorry. I love you, but not that much. So God loves us, though, this much that He sent His only begotten Son to take your place, to pay your fine, which is death. Death on the cross. When you realize it's just the devil and his lies pulling you down, this is what you can do to the devil. And turn your back on those lies. You can say, devil, talk to the foot because the ears ain't listening. Get behind me and get beneath me. Satan, you are my footstool. Amen. Everyone say, it's just the devil. The only reason why I can say it's just the devil, he is way more powerful than I. His demons are way more powerful than I. Way more powerful. And I've seen a couple. But I'll tell you right now. Jesus conquered Satan. It's done. Satan couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. When I have Jesus, I have His strength, His power, His cover, His righteousness as a robe over my unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive me of all my sin, He also has forgotten all my sin. And He takes your sin and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, and the only one who's fishing there is Satan, trying to fish out the memories. Don't listen to those lies. You've been forgiven. And those sins have been forgotten. Turn around and say, God, I don't want my plan, I want your plan. I don't want my wisdom, I want your wisdom. I don't want my righteousness, I want your righteousness. I trust you. I give you my brokenness, I give you my pain, I give you my addictions, I give you my depression. Here I am, Lord. Save me. And He did. 2 weeks after I gave my life to Jesus, I was depressed. Because I'm like, what's going on? Now I know I need to be a Christian. And I'm not perfect. What's up with that? God knows you're not going to be perfect. But it's that commitment that as you fail, you ask for forgiveness. You ask for that refining fire. You ask God to change you and bring you from glory to glory. Yes, I fail God every day. I do fail my wife. I wish I was a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect husband. I am not patient, guys. She is 10 times more patient than I. I want you to know something. We all have our little things, right? But give them to God. You can't do anything with your things. You can't do anything with your fear. You can't do anything with your addiction and your habits. You can't do a thing. You can't. You can't do it on your own. But Jesus can. He can renew your mind. He can heal your heart. He can break those chains. He can give you that peace and that refuge of comfort in the most lonely nights. Even when your loved ones are holding you, it's not enough. Let Jesus hold you. Let Him take you. Let Him carry you when you cannot walk. Let Him set you free and give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, to the point where you're like, I have no idea what's going on in my life right now, but I trust you. You're faithful. Hallelujah. He's here to set you free. Some of you come to church, some of you do not. God's not going to ask you if you come to church. Church is a good thing, but it's not what's going to save you. Do you have an active relationship with Jesus or not? If this was your last minute of breath, 50 seconds. 45 seconds. Are you going to heaven? Do you hope you're going to heaven?
or do you know you're going to heaven? Because that's when the smile comes. Because I know I'm going to heaven. And it's not because of my righteousness. It's because I've simply said, Lord, change me. I repent of my sins. I want to live for you. And until my purpose is done here on earth, I want to bring one more person with me to heaven. Amen? When you don't get a miracle, be a miracle. Hallelujah. So right now, all across this place, in this sanctuary, and then outside, if you're watching online, there are people ready to talk to you, live chats, real people. But outside, if you're in the overflow room, listen to what we're about to do. What I want to do is give an opportunity to every single person who's watching, an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into their life, to ask God to forgive them of their sins, to say, God, I'm not walking with you. I'm not talking with you. You're not my priority in every area of my life. You know, maybe you've got God as like a phone app, right? You call upon the name of the Lord when you need the name of the Lord. That, it's not a friendship. I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. Do you know Him? Because you got to get to know Him. It's the only way. He will never shortchange you, you teenagers. Some of you don't want to cross the line to become a Christian because you're not ready yet. Really? Yeah, I want to do this and this and this. God's better than any drug. God's better than any pleasure. God's better than all the money in the world. Sex is made by God for marriage. If you honor God in waiting for your partner who's going to be there, God will honor that. He will bless you for that. Sex out of marriage is not the blessing of God. It's Satan taking something holy and beautiful and sacred and flipping it upside down lustfully and bringing down men left, right, and center, tearing down families. And when the family falls, the nation falls. This nation has fallen because a lot of men have fallen, in my opinion. We have to be the spiritual leaders in our home. If we are not to pray for our family, who will pray for our family? If we are not to share... Wayne Cadero is not the spiritual father of your home. You're the spiritual father of your home. God has appointed you, you men of God, as a spiritual leader of the home. Wayne is here to lead you, to lead your family, but he's not going to do your job. That's not his job. He's got his own family to deal with. You guys, it's us. Don't wait for some evangelist, big evangelist like Reinhard Bonnke, who brings in 2.9 million people together in one meeting to come to Hawaii and finally let's preach to all of Hawaii. It's up to you. Bring your neighbors, bring your friends to the Aloha Stadium, invite them to church. Let them know that Jesus lives, because you don't know when they're going to be moving. You don't know when your last chance is your last chance. The day of salvation is today, because tomorrow is not promised. So right now, all across this place, in this room, and in the overflow room, we're going to open up these doors right here, right now. Go for it. And right now, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. If that's you, you know you don't have an active relationship with Him. You don't want to live another day without that assurity that He is Lord in your life. I want you to stand right now, and I want you to come to the front. And just stand on the floor, up to the stage, overflow room. Guys, you're just down here. I can see you from here, okay? I want you to know that we are not far away. If you know in your heart, God is moving your heart to say, yes, God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to live for you. I want to know you. I lay my life down because you laid your life down for me. You died for me. I want to live for you. I want to know you. I want to know the plans that you have for me. So right now, stand up. If you don't want to come alone, bring someone with you. That's okay if you want to bring someone with you. I bet you right now, they're hoping that you ask them to walk with you. So right now, all across this place, if you know you need to make your life right with Jesus, stand up and come down. There's two people, three people. Stand up and come. Four people. From the overflow room, come on down. 7, 8, 9, 10 people. 11, 12, 13 people. Keep coming down. Come on, let's give God a cheer. Come on, stand up if that's you. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Just come on down. 23, 24 people. Keep on coming down. Is there anybody else? 25. You're never too young to give your life to Jesus. 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 53, 55. Keep on coming down. It's not too late. Keep on coming. That's 60. Hallelujah. That's 60 people coming down. 65. Keep coming down. It's not the end. Can you guys do me a favor from this section? Come up on the stage and just sit down here. Come up on stage and just sit down here so we can move everyone up. There's a lot of people here. That's it. Just come up here and just sit down here on the floor. You can face me. Keep coming up. Keep coming up. That's it. Keep coming. Move down, guys. Move down. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Great. And guys, move along all the way to the staircase and start sitting up on stage as well, because there's a lot more, there's a lot of people. You guys might want to come behind. Yeah, you guys want to move around. There's like a lot. There's like 120 people up here. You guys come up those stairs as well. Can you guys move up? Move up, move up. Just move up. Keep moving. Keep moving. Not everyone's going to go on stage, and that's okay, but just stand where you are. Just keep moving along there. Keep moving along. Yeah, great. Look how many people have come. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Anyone else want to join us? Last call. Final call. Keep coming. Yep, just keep coming here in the center. There's lots of room in the center. We can double up the line here. That's it. Awesome. Last call, final call. Is there anyone else? Awesome. Man, I'm so excited. Aren't you excited? Yeah. I love you guys so much. I love you, and Jesus loves you so much. And no matter what you've done up until this point, He loves you, and He's ready to forgive. And I don't say that just because it's my opinion. It's what He says. And so today, if you just sit down and make sure that we're not blocking anyone, I just want to say that I love you so much and God has a plan for you. Take one day at a time. And He'll never let you go through more than you can handle. So don't give up. And don't give up on God. God will not give up on you. Amen? And so we're going to say a prayer now. But first, before we do that, I'm going to say a prayer for everyone. Let's just bow our heads and I'm going to pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for everyone here today. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who's watching, everyone who's here. And we thank you for our families first. And we pray, Lord God, for physical miracles to take place in our homes, in our bodies. We pray, Lord God, for circumstances to change. We pray, Lord God, that whatever storms are above us, we thank you, Lord, that not only would you, in Jesus' name, part that storm and heal that cancer and heal that blood disease and heal anything physically in Jesus' name. But Father, if you don't stop that storm right now or next week or in this lifetime, Lord God, we thank you that you're going to hold us through the storm. We thank you that we're going to fly above the storm where it's always sunny. And we thank you, Lord, that even if our circumstances do not change, that you are still God, you are still with us, and we're here together as a family to help each other along. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for healing. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for everyone. Bless us, give us faith, comfort us, and help us to believe in your word. Would everyone just say this right now? Say, dear God, I thank you for loving me, for having a plan for my life. I am so sorry of everything I've done wrong.
Please forgive me. I don't want to sin. I want to know you. Forgive me. Change me. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me to pray. Teach me your word. And give me faith to know that you're always with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. Wow. So right now, you're forgiven. And right now, your name is written in the book of life. And first of all, welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. The eternal family. The eternal family. Amen. And so pray for your family. Pray for your friends. You don't have to now get the thickest Bible and smash people over the head with it. It's not what God's called you to do. You don't even have to tell many people. But let me tell you, this process now is the beginning. This is the beginning. So now you've said that prayer. You ask God to come into your heart. And guess what? He has. He's not saying, well, you got to stop this and this and then I'll come into your house. No. He's living in you now. He doesn't like sin at all, but he's going to work with you as long as you work with him. Amen? And his grace is sufficient one day at a time. And you might tomorrow morning think, well, what do I do now? Right? You've said that prayer. What do I do now? The Bible says, believe, repent, which is what you've done, and then be baptized. And we as a church want to help you to know what that means. We're not going to baptize you now. We don't have a baptismal pool ready, but I will say that I'm sure they're going to take up a line of lists of people who are saying, yes, I want to get baptized. Maybe you were baptized as an infant. Baptism is you having a public confession to the world, and whoever's there in front of your family, in front of your friends, it's no longer me that I'm living for. I'm living for God. And it's a public declaration, and it's a beautiful time for you to bring your family and your friends as they now witness your life-changing decision. And you might feel that little voice saying, oh, you're not going to be a good Christian, or you don't know what to do. No, you don't. Neither did I. And babies, you know, they start with formula or breastfed milk, and then they go to like mashed up food, and then they go to vegetables, and then they go to meat. My 13-month-old was eating a hot dog yesterday. It was crazy. So as you grow, right, as you grow, your food changes, right? Because you mature. Does that make sense? So now you're little babies. You're newborn. Everyone say newborn. All right. So treat yourself like a newborn. It's okay to not know anything right now except that you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're ready for the next steps. So we're now ready as a church to help you. We're here to serve you. We're not here to take from you. I'm going to say it again. We are not here to take from you. We're here to give. We're here to serve. We're here to pray for you. We're here to counsel with you. If you don't want prayer today, that's fine. You ever want prayer one day, come back to the church and ask someone for prayer. There is nothing about your story that's going to surprise us. Like there is not one sin that we're going to say, oh, really? Like just ask Pastor Larry. We've heard it all, right? We heard it all. We're ready for it. Bring it on, right? We're ready to pray with you, ready to encourage you and get into a Bible study because that's the next steps, okay, to grow and learn. And so counselors right here, right now, where are you? You have the little packs. Can you hand out these packs? Everyone say these packs. Counselors, go ahead and spread it out. Give it to everyone. In that pack, I want you to open it. What did I say? What do you got to do? You got to open it. You got to find the green piece of paper. Everyone say the green piece of paper. You got to get that green piece of paper and fill out the details on that card. And there should be a pen in that pack. Is there a pen in that pack? Okay, so you're going to get pens as well, okay? I want you to write down your name and at least one contact detail, if it's your email or your phone, because we want to follow up with you. We don't want you to just say, hey, here's the Bible, good luck. We don't want to do that. We want to help you. So if there's anyone else who've actually said that prayer and you just didn't come forward, come up now so you can fill out the details as well. There's always one person who's like, yeah, I said that prayer and I really want to know what they've got in that pack. I want that thing. Come up, because you need it. You can't do it on your own. Is there anyone else who needs this pack? So as everyone else is doing it, we're so excited. Before I get off stage, put your hand up if you do not have a pen. Guys, we need like 60 pens. Where are the pens? Gary, where's the pens? Throw them out, man. You can't do it yourself. Throw them out. Throw them out. Anyone throw some pens, just don't poke anyone in the eyes, all right? Pass it up. We need 60 pens. Give them out. Got it. Good. For everyone else, we're so excited. Now, do you have a little bit more faith about Aloha Stadium seeing 3,000 souls we're praying for to come to Jesus? Amen. There are like 130 up here. Let's give God a round of applause. Amen. Please call your family. Call your friends. I heard that in Hawaii, you don't really need a lot of time for RSVPing on a, like you give like 2 weeks for people to come to your wedding or something. So this is the greatest banquet of all. The greatest party of all. Whatever party you got going on, whatever sports stuff you're going on, record it, cancel your party, come to the stadium, then have a party later. All right? I love you guys so much. Make sure you bring all your family and your friends. Will you do that? Who's going to really call someone and really invite someone? I want to see your hands. Will you make a commitment to call someone? I want to see your hands. How many of you are going to come and bring another car full or a couple people with you? Okay, where are the rest of you? Shall I drag you? Shall I find you up? Who is coming to the stadium? Raise your hand. Awesome. So I don't know what the other third of you are doing, but imagine if 300 of you who weren't planning of coming actually come and bring one other person, that's another 600 people. And one of the people you bring receives Jesus tonight. It's worth the risk. Forget about your fear. Forget about your pride. Do it. Call them. Tell them, I'm sorry I haven't invited you to church. I always wanted to. But there's this guy, Aloha Stadium Free. Come tonight. Love you guys so much. I'm so excited. And on the way out, thank you so much for your support and getting the books. You get a free DVD of our webisode of our world outreach that happened last year. We did Japan and Philippines. You get a DVD on both of those tours if you get a t-shirt today. So I love you guys so much. God bless you. And thank you for supporting us and encouraging us. And I know this is not by far the last time to Hawaii, but let's together pray for Hawaii like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Rod. Excuse me, guys. You got to let someone come through.
Let's all stand together. And as we stand, can we say thank you again to Nick and his family?
Yeah.
Love them. Don't forget, Nick has, these are more than resources. It's like ministry tools, the books and DVDs. And what an incredible, easy way to minister. To share the life and heart of what God's done in our brother's life. And then tonight, Aloha Stadium, 5 p.m. And boy, let's be praying for Nick. Amen. He's like Amen. Spoken 18 times, 5 services, got the big outreach tonight. So
yeah, 18 times in a week. It's been a little busy. If anyone finished their green card, right now, pass it along to someone in front of you. Put it on the table right here. Green cards, pass it forward right now. Green cards, bring them in. Bring them in. Right here to the table. Pass it on. I wish I could hug you all. I can't because my arms would fall off. But I love you. Bring all the green cards up here that are done. Thank you so much. This is awesome. Isn't this awesome? Yeah. Hallelujah. Have a great day.